Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, Aspel on the Esplanade, and I'm sitting here with South Bay Jay Cruz again.
All right.
Yeah, you're my favorite guest.
Well,
yeah,
thanks.
We do better. Yeah, and beautiful sunny day in Redondo Beach, and it's good to be here on this beautiful day.
It's great to be here on this beautiful
really
day.
It's really good. It's good to be alive. It's good to all that stuff.
It certainly is, and, you know, not to, you know, promote the weather like we do so much, but what a place in paradise with the rest of the country's dealing with shoveling snow just to get out and deal with the day.
Yeah, a lot of Southern California is shoveling ashes, and then Midwest and Northeast are shoveling snow, and we're just shoveling poop. That's it's all good. It's why we live here. That's why it's so expensive and everything like that.
100%.
And, you know, in fact, the other day is the first time in probably 10 years I went to Santa Monica.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my mother-in-law had to be admitted to the hospital, and she's 92, just to have IV, like 5 to 7 days of IV drip for a urinary tract infection.
Okay.
And so we decided to take her in there on Saturday morning. But it's amazing. I haven't been to Santa Monica I went to college in Santa Monica, City College.
Okay.
But I don't go there. I've never been to Third Street Promenade. I've never been to...
I haven't been there in probably close to 8 to 10 years myself.
I don't leave the little bubble down here.
Right.
Unless I fly somewhere. But I went up there. But the amazing thing was, everybody complains about traffic. There was none. Of course, it was 7 in the morning on Saturday.
Right.
And picked my mother-in-law up in Marina Del Rey and took her to Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to use a GPS from her place to find St. John's Hospital.
Oh, funny.
And I grew up in that area, but I couldn't find. I do not know my way around the West Side or Santa Monica.
A lot of things have changed. You know, that's one thing too. A lot of times, you know, you might move to a new area, and because of GPS or the fact that you are geographically kind of new, you do a lot more studying. But for someone like yourself who's grown up and lived here, you're probably used to. I made a left at Bob's Big Boy, and how long has that been gone?
It's been gone. That's right. Yeah, I could drive around Ireland or France or somewhere easier than I can Santa Monica.
Yeah, you probably studied and you got familiar with it, and you're paying attention. But here in our hometown, we're like,
I don't pay any attention.
You go up here and and people are looking at you like it's your home city. You can't tell me the name of the street.
You go to Bundy, to Cloverfield, I'm going, I have no idea.
Right.
But it was kind of funny. I wasn't going to talk about hospitals, but we got there about 7:30 and in St. John's Hospital, which is proof there is a disparity in medical care in this country.
Right.
There was not one other person in the ER.
Oh, wow.
Usually you walk into an ER and you got to fake a heart attack to get in within 4 hours.
You got to get to the list of the triage, you know.
Yeah,
like
you got
in pain.
You got to tell them you can't breathe or your heart's bad or they'll get you in. But if you go to Torrance that's a great hospital. But you go anywhere I've been, you wait.
Right.
This place here was not a soul. Now, granted, they said if you came here about noon, there might be more people. And I have never seen an ER like this. It was better than the Four Seasons Hotel.
That's amazing.
It was amazing and clean, spacious. Even the nurses they're always nice. But I looked at my wife and I said, well, I guess if I want to be sick, I better go to St. John's.
Sure.
I don't think they handle gunshots and stuff like that very well up there.
Yeah.
But I'm going, it was kind of a sad, happy, sad feeling going, I know that a lot of hospitals in L.A. or whatever aren't as luxurious as this.
Right.
And I guess if you got the money, you live longer. That's the way it is. But
yeah, you get the special care at the time you need it.
Yeah. You know, they can't turn you away when you go in, but I think the people without insurance or people without that much money, they just would say, well, I'm not going to go because they're going to throw me out as soon as they give me 2 Advil.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. They got her in, and she's there and bored out of her mind with IV drip.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of fun, laying there and waiting for that to take place.
I know. Well, yeah, I feel bad for her, but I drove up there, and they said, well, we're going to take her up and get these tests. We'll bring her back down in 2 hours. And my wife and I said, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Call us if there's a problem, and she'll be fine.
But
we got home by 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I expected to lose a whole Saturday doing this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like I'm whining because it's a 92-year-old mother-in-law, but, you know, we were up there, and it was anyway, Santa Monica. So I got to see a little bit of our west side of L.A. or its own city, I guess.
Did you end up going by the 3rd Street promenade on the way back?
No, got back in the freeway as fast as I could.
Yep.
Right there at St. John's Hospital, there's a sign, 10 East. So I got on it, got home in no time because there was no traffic. So, you know, I feel sorry for the people that have to commute through that stuff. And Now, if we were to go there right now at 1:15 in the afternoon, it'd probably take us an hour to get there.
Well, you always have that area on the 405 when you get by the Howard Hughes Parkway.
Right.
That's always going to be a bit of a log jam, you know.
Stops.
Just past the LAX. Mm-hmm. That always happens. And I remember when they, you know, they had that road diet thing going on Lincoln or whatever, and everything was one lane. So it was kind of like you didn't want to go there for the last year for, you know, with that thing going on, but they kind of cleared it up. My trips to Santa Monica, I've always been on a bicycle. I like to get up and do an early morning bike ride down the Strand, hit through Venice Beach, and then Venice is enough to get me a little bit to Santa Monica, and then I'll have lunch in Santa Monica, and then kind of all bets are off after that. You know?
Can you turn around and ride your bike back?
Yeah, it's usually a lot slower coming back.
You know, it's uphill.
Right.
Not really, but it seems uphill. I've done it a number of times. I've made it as far as Marina Del Rey.
Uh-huh.
I'm an old fat guy, but bad story, but healthylife.net story, anti-healthylife.net story. My buddy and I, Mark Hebson, he's been on the show before, he's a farmer's guy. We rode our bikes once to the Shack in at the end of Culver Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
World-famous Shack hamburgers, and unfortunately, we had too many world-famous Bacardi Cokes.
Right.
And this is so long ago, I can't remember the last time I had a Bacardi and Coke, but it was a long time ago. So my age wasn't an excuse, but it was about, and now it's 5 o'clock. So I call my wife and we had a Suburban. Will you come and get us from South Redondo?
And you're at Culver City.
Yeah. And down there in Plato Ray. So she came and got us and she's none too happy, but I said I was in no shape to even ride a bike.
Yeah.
But I just told her, you know, it was uphill. I said, you know, we didn't mean to come up here and start having cocktails, but we did.
That's it. You know, you get there and you're like, you work up a sweat, you work up an appetite, you have lunch, and then one turns into two, and then you're like, yeah, I don't feel like riding. I can't do it.
It's supposed to be a healthy thing, not. But I turn a good thing into bad.
Yeah.
But you know, I've ridden my bike we go up as far as Manhattan or so and turn around, but it's on the bike path on nice days though, it's really hard because. Mm-hmm. It's not a bike path anymore.
Right.
It's a strolling path, a skateboard path.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that annoys me is you get the people walking 4 or 5 abreast.
Yeah.
And they're mad you're
whizzing by on your bicycle.
And I don't whiz by very fast anymore, but they're still, they're mad that you're upsetting their little program. You want to say, well, this is a bike path.
Yeah. And you're at the beach and texting on your phone. So let's just neutralize all concern, grievances here. That is always the thing because you got people walking out and, you know, I get it because a lot of times, even if they're LA people, maybe they're not beach people and it's kind of nice to be at the beach. Like I like being in the city and look at skyscrapers. You can tell I'm not from the city at times, but, you know, it's the guys who think they're Lance Armstrong out there. And it's like, okay, we're at the beach. Be cautious. This can be dangerous. You got a lot of distractions. You got sand. So, you know, one slip and you could really do a number on yourself. But these guys that, you know, they wear the bike outfits and that's okay, but they just think they're on the Tour de France and they're
a
little aggressive sometimes.
Well, yeah, they're the most, I guess I'll back that up. They are the most annoying. They're going about 35 miles an hour down there. And they'll yell out, on your right, on your right.
Yeah.
I'm cruising in my Strand Cruiser. I sit up really high. It's no bending over. I'm a big sail out there.
I'm all about comfort out there.
Yeah. And these guys go whizzing by and they get annoyed. And you want to go, well, go up in the street. You'll get off the bike path. But it's, I remember when that was built when I was, maybe 20 or 21. And they were real proud of the fact that it was the first bike path from Santa Monica all the way. And they couldn't get around Marina Del Rey for a while, though. You had to go on the streets. But now they had that bridge.
Yeah, I remember I used to come down and visit my uncle in Orange County, and they had the bike path. He was in Fountain Valley, and that would go all the way to Huntington Beach, or Bolsa Chica State Beach, technically, I think, or one of the two, between the two. And then, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, you can take this all the way up to Malibu. And I was like, oh, from Orange County to Malibu?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was like 20, that seemed like a great day. And now it's like, yeah, I'm going to need a motor.
No, you get an electric bike now. You have the assisted living bike.
Yeah.
You get a whole sense of what the world's like on a bike path. That's funny. Yeah, we segued into bike path.
But I love that, and that was one of the first things when I did move to L.A. permanently was, like, I loved riding bikes on the beach. Mm-hmm. I just think what a gift we have to be able to do that. And you know, we all share in that. So that's just one of the greatest things about SoCal.
That was a great investment of taxpayers' money. At first, some people were mad about it because, why are you building a bike path down there? And it was just millions of dollars at the time.
Yeah.
And I know in my section of town, they used to have a sign up called the Marvin Browdy, B-R-A-U-D-E, bike path. And he was an L.A. city, I think a supervisor.
Okay.
L.A. County supervisor. And he spearheaded the effort to get it in, and they named it after him. But I haven't seen the sign in years.
Yeah.
But it has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that movie with John Ritter and the other blonde and the brunette, and they were living together?
Oh, Three's Company.
Three's Company. In the opening scene, he kind of falls over in the sand in the bike path. That's filmed at Gillis in Playa del Rey.
Okay, I could have sworn it's one of, there's a few places where you look and you see that curve going there, and I go, I swear that's the Three Company curve, you know?
Yeah, it's down there. When I was 12 and 13 and 14, I was a junior lifeguard down there at Gillis Beach, the grassy area and stuff. And that's the bike path wasn't in yet, but then I remember it was a big uproar. They put it in, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're all talking about bike lanes and things like that. So
we can talk about the Regal Beagle, another Jack Tripper throwback from that show.
The Regal Beagle.
I mean, I just remember on that show, they were always hanging out at that place. Yeah, we're going to go to the Regal Beagle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's just, I don't know, it's funny. I watched that show growing up, and then I go, I end up living kind of where they were doing that.
That's
funny.
Well, if you live down here, you live near some place they filmed.
Right.
And you know that. I remember I lived in the building for a while where they filmed Chips. And Ponch lived in my building, and they filmed there like twice a week.
Uh-huh.
And it would totally tear up it was a mess on the building. But he had a waterfront Marina del Rey apartment on the show, but we were 5 miles from the waterfront in Culver City.
Right.
So that's when I first started figuring, oh, they could do magic on TV filming. But that was a pain in the butt. We couldn't go to our parking lot or get in the building if they were filming.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the condo association made money on it, but it was a pain in the neck.
Oh yeah.
And if you live down here, there's always doing something.
Always something going.
So how do we get in that? We started from traffic to St. John's to
Santa Monica.
Chips. Yeah, Santa Monica.
Trip.
Well, Venice, that's still a trip. I haven't been there in years, but I always took tourists there.
Yes.
Still a place to watch people.
I love that. And it is a kind of that thing. You have, you know, you got the Venice Beach, so you get outside, and then you got all of California culture. You got the skateboards then. Mm-hmm. You've got Muscle Beach going, Hulk Hogan used to lift here, or Ferrigno, or, you know, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the first, you remember Mike Nesmith of the Monkees?
Absolutely.
He apparently was one of the first pioneers in, like, music videos back in the 70s before MTV came out. And I, being a total music kid, was staying up late at night, like in junior high, watching this show that had these videos, and they go, here's something from Mike Nesmith, and they're in Venice Beach, and they're showing this big, crazy, muscular blonde guy who later ended up being Hulk Hogan. I mean, that's who he was,
but
the name wasn't out there yet. And I'm just like, who are they finding these guys? Must be Venice Beach in L.A., you know? It's just,
that's what they do.
You know, and I go down there, and there's so many of the characters that you see in a lot of other people's photos and videos over the years. There's a guy, he's got the dreadlocks, and he's got the distorted guitar on his rollerblades. He's always playing with his amp as he skates by. And there's the guy,
amazing,
like the Brazilian tan guy and the copper, and he's got the snake around his neck. I mean,
yeah, if you're a tourist to California, in Southern California, you got to go to Venice.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody listening around the world, if you come to L.A., make that a day trip.
Yes.
It's perfectly safe.
It is.
I was down when I was a junior lifeguard, again, mm-hmm. when I was really young, we used to do that there's a little Venice breakwater, and we'd have our lifeguard trials there and things like that. We were there every other weekend.
Yeah.
And then there's a defunct Safeway store at the Venice traffic circle about 200 yards from where all the people congregate in Venice. And I worked there for a couple of years back in the late 60s and early 70s. And you know, where I grew up in Westchester, after going to Catholic school, we never saw any of the long hair hippie freaks, you know, but you go down there. And it was a trip. That's where I actually used to wear a short hair wig to work.
Uh-huh.
Now, you got pretty long hair. My hair was almost as long as yours, and I wish I could rustle up some pictures. and I was about 21 or 22.
Uh-huh.
But as it's getting longer, it's covering my ears, and I was at that Safeway store. The manager, Gordon, and I won't use his last name.
Yeah.
He came in one day and told me I have to cut my hair.
Yep.
And, you know, nowadays you can have tattoos in your face and be a box boy or a clerk.
I know.
But I was just a regular clerk. And so I wasn't going to cut my hair. Because after all those years of Catholic school, keeping it short.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to, actually it was a Redondo Beach on Inglewood Avenue, and bought a short hair wig.
Oh, cool.
For $60 back in 1970 or something.
Whoa, that's a spendy.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
And it was such a quality wig, and I had hair that no one knew I had a wig.
That's great.
And I put my hair in a ponytail. My hair was really curly. So I'd put it in the ponytail, and after I'd wore it under the wig all day, it would come out straight as an arrow.
Oh, cool.
But I wore it for about a year, and my mom didn't even know it was a wig.
Nice.
And I was using it to test old people.
Uh-huh.
And I came in one day, and my manager goes, well, you know, I can't believe you finally listened to me cut your hair, and you're working so much harder. And he was propping me all these things. And every day he'd pat me in the back. And everybody in the market knew I had long hair.
Yeah.
And this guy was patting me in the back, and he complimented me. Well, your attitude's changed. You're such a better worker.
Uh-huh.
And then I got promoted because of that to what they call third man.
Mm-hmm.
It's no more money, but you're in, maybe it's 10 cents an hour, but you get to do the money, and you're the manager of the store on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And this went on for about a year and a half, and one day on a Sunday, I'm in the store office counting the money up. We're ready to close. And,
yeah.
And I feel a presence in the office. And I turn around. It's the manager. It's Gordon. He came in to get his paycheck.
Right.
And he's standing there.
And you had taken off your wig.
I was actually wearing a shirt I shouldn't have been wearing.
Okay. And
it wasn't tie-dye, but it was obviously not appropriate for work.
Grateful Dead tour shirt.
It was kind of like, it had sequins on it and stuff. I don't know. I was wearing blue jeans, what you weren't supposed to wear.
Yeah.
And anyway, I feel his presence, and I turn around, his arms are folded, and he's staring at me. And I had this epiphany. I knew I was gold.
Yeah.
He could not say a word.
Uh-huh.
He looked at me, and he said, and he was stunned. He turned purple. He goes, I don't know what's going on here, Steve, but when I come back tomorrow, I better be back to the way it was. Bye. And he knew he'd put his foot in his mouth for the last year, and all the employees really got a big chuckle out of this.
Yeah.
So, because every day when he'd leave, I'd take it off.
Sure.
And all the customers knew.
Uh-huh.
And everybody, it was a small Safeway store where there's only like four or five check stands.
Oh, that's great.
And so, well, fast forward a couple of years, I'm still at Safeway. I got promoted to be an assistant manager.
Right.
And I was then in a newspaper, the Safeway magazine. I was the youngest assistant manager of any store in the entire world.
Oh, cool.
And which meant I worked 3 to midnight.
Okay.
6 nights a week. I had no life.
Yeah.
And but I had to do the paperwork and all that every night. But when they moved me to this new store at Centinella and Venice, not down in the heart of Venice, it's in Mar Vista.
Uh huh.
And they brought, Gordon had been removed from his manager position, and he was now a regular clerk again.
Oh, wow.
He had to come and work for me.
Uh-huh.
I was his boss.
Oh, boy.
And he was about, well, I don't know, he could have been 50.
Yeah.
But he seemed like 100 to me. But anyway, I was his boss. And I swear to God, I had my rear kissed every day because he knew. About how he insulted everybody about my hair.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep my hair, I cut it down. It's so short to get to step one. And my wife hates it. She still thinks I have hair.
Uh-huh.
So she would, if I grew a long hair, ponytail, bald guy, she wouldn't be mad.
Right.
I guess. But she said, I don't like your haircut. Well, what does it do? Do a comb over? But, that's all started back in Venice.
That's great.
I got off work, I fit right in. I go to those little bars down there. And I never really hung out in Marina Del Rey because that was, you know, gold chain country and silky shirts or polyester shirts. So the BG crowd hung out in Marina Del Rey, and the dead crowd kind of hung out in Venice.
Right.
It's funny we talked about, I love Venice.
Oh, yeah.
It's still cool.
It is. And, just a great place. You know, you can take anybody on your list to go out there and they can be happy. They can do some shopping. They can do some sightseeing, get something good to eat or drink. A lot of sightseeing, a lot of history, and just, you know, kind of L.A. culture all kind of blending into one there.
I ran a Father's Day 10K in Venice. Go back and forth over the little bridges.
Uh-huh.
That was when I was just newly married to Pam, when I still had to be nice and try and pretend I ran.
And the canals too. That's the other thing that's unique about Venice. And then for those who aren't, you know, from California, you know what Venice, California, it does have the canals in Venice, Italy,
yeah.
So it's, you know, quite apropos.
I wouldn't take a dip in one of them.
I probably wouldn't either. Yeah.
But, you know, they're famous for Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, a lot of movies. And Michael Douglas, where he got shot at the end, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that, it was in Venice.
And the Hank Moody's show on Showtime, The Californication.
I've never seen it.
That's all filmed there. Well,
that's funny.
David Duchovny is the actor.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Oh, Californication.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it off air. It's like Two and a Half Men rated R version, if you will.
Well, Two and a Half Men is already R, I think.
This is the cable version.
She's a doable 50 years old. But yeah, it's funny. Here we are in Redondo Beach talking about Venice, but that's a funny thing. You brought up Venice. It's a trip.
It is. I might try to spend a day up there on the sabbatical here coming up.
Maybe I'll go with you just to hit some bars up there. And, you know, have good food.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place. That's
funny. A couple good places. I try to go up there like once a year and just spend a day.
If I went there, I might have a flashback, but it might be the wrong kind of flashback from those days. All right, everybody, we'll be back in a minute.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel with South Bay J. Cruz. And we went from Redondo Beach, where we're supposed to specialize in, to talking about Venice.
Yeah, we did.
It's still great. I'm having really fond flashbacks.
Uh huh.
And this was really 40 years ago when I hung out there. And there was the real line of demarcation was not Washington Boulevard, it was a few blocks north, and Maria Del Rey was the BG crowd. And,
uh-huh.
But you know, they like everything else in our world, they're going to, it's gentrification and things like that. It won't last.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not mad about it. It's just, I'm not a person that, obviously, from my reputation as mayor, I'm not the person that wants to get stuck in the past or not change. But yeah, Abbot Kenny used to be a place where it's a road called Abbot Kenny, and it goes diagonally through Venice. And, I haven't been there in years. I'm certain there's still a lot of funky restaurants or places, but yeah, when Snapchat moved in there, they're buying up everything down there.
Yeah, and you know, to either work for their employees or, you know, some of these companies will even buy apartment buildings and, you know, rent them out to their employees and stuff. You know, but what was happening, a lot of the little places in Abbot Kinney and some of the other old charm of Venice, you know, the unique independent art crowd, if you will, is just being priced out due to rents, which, you know, happens, you know, various reasons. But Abbot Kinney is like we're talking, is like a little Haight-Ashbury kind of bohemian cove. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not quite on the beach and everything, but there's some great independent bookstores and, you know, a couple nice little restaurants. I know there's some dance places where they have some cultural dance, like salsa dancing and some other stuff that, you know, just needs a place to and kind of be there and supported these artists that, you know, Venice has been an artist community since, you know, the day it started.
Well, back when I worked at Safeway down there, I probably worked at five or six stores around the West Side or Westchester, and we took in more food stamps there than any place else, and it wasn't minorities.
Right.
It was everybody.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't known to be rich. You would have six or seven guys in one place or people. But if you crossed the border into Marina Del Rey, it was like, I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah, night and day, you know, just
I'd go there.
The tracks.
Yeah, my uncle owned a bar there that got closed down for legal reasons. And but there was, that was in Marina Del Rey, but everybody wore gold chains and you had to have the shirt, you know, unbuttoned down to your middle of your waist and you had to have fancy bell bottoms. It was horrible. Everybody's trying to be John Travolta.
Right.
And I never fit in that crowd, but it was the interesting thing was back in those days, and this is my recollection, there was, in Venice, it wasn't like, you didn't see people doing cocaine in Venice.
Uh-huh.
But once you got to Marina Del Rey, the upscale crowd, it was everywhere.
A little trendy there.
That was the center of the universe right there.
Right.
And, so the people in Marina Del Rey always looked down their nose at Venice, but Venice was more of a real people. You didn't have to show up in a Porsche to meet a girl.
Yeah.
And, but it's kind of interesting. My wife Pam used to be a bartender in Marina Del Rey.
Uh huh.
But it was at Marine Calendars. It wasn't exactly you know, the John Travolta crowd, the Bee Gees thing. It was families. But yeah. In fact, we're talking about there. There's a restaurant I just saw online. There's a restaurant called Jerry's Deli.
Uh-huh.
Up in Marina Del Rey, and it's closed for remodeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same deli owner as the one in New York or something.
Oh, cool.
But that when I was younger, that used to be a Gulliver's.
Oh.
Yeah, Gulliver's, a steakhouse, uh-huh. English, and the women had to... They couldn't do it today.
Yeah,
they had to dress up with the bustiers.
The wench kind of...
They were wenches, yeah, and it was... life was simpler then.
Yeah.
But I remember we went there with a group, and it was Pam's 19th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't dating her. She was dating somebody else, but she's been my lifelong friend.
Yeah.
And we ordered drinks, and the bar, the server was a guy from our high school.
Oh, how cool.
And so he said, well, let's just say it's her 21st birthday.
There you go.
So we're all drinking, and my aunt, turns out my aunt, who's dead now, but she was there with her husband, and she came over and said hi. And my family, my mom's side, even my dad's side, a little more open and liberal than most card-carrying South Bay Catholics.
Sure.
My aunt sent us over a round of cocktails, and she knew we were only 19.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, it was cool, and she thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And Aunt Joan, lovely lady, but she... And I was best friends with her son, Bruce, another guy who passed away about 10 years ago, my age.
Oh.
Poor guy had a heart attack, dead. But miss him. But it was my Aunt Joan sent over drinks for everybody. And someone goes, oh, we're busted now. Your aunt knows we're only 19.
Uh-oh.
And I go, this is my aunt. This is my mom's side of the family. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they don't. They just don't care. And they always said, as long as you're responsible, it's okay. But Gulliver's... used to be there, and the reason I just came to my mind, we're talking about Venice, but it was a corporate chain.
Yeah,
but they were renowned for their corn and their cream corn and their cream spinach sides.
Ah, okay.
So I'm having some family over this Thursday, and I told my wife I'm going to make the cream corn from Gulliver's.
Oh, how cool!
From Marina Del Rey. Yeah,
yeah.
They don't have a recipe online, but I'll just get Southern style cream corn. It's cream corn. But yeah, it was a great time, and back in those times, a lot of restaurants. But, yeah, I always ended up back in Venice. But I can't say I've ever ridden my bike to Venice from Redondo.
Okay.
I've never done it. I don't think I'd make it both ways.
Yeah, I have done them less and less over the years. When I first moved here, I did it, a couple times a month. Then it became every couple months, mm-hmm. couple times a year. Now it's an annual thing. So the distance definitely has,
You know, with Uber, you don't need a bike anywhere.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's funny now that, obviously I've, having served in politics down here in Redondo and everything, I lived in south of the airport, Redondo Beach,
uh-huh.
south of the airport since 1975.
Right.
And I can always remember, it's like leaving, it's different countries. It's like Marina Del Rey is way different than Venice.
Yes.
Anything north of the airport is a different country compared to south of the airport.
I agree.
Yeah. And I remember they had a restaurant they opened in the building where Shay Melange of Boozy's is now.
Uh-huh.
And it was called the Cucina Paradiso.
Paradiso.
It was really outstanding Italian food. And their grand opening, and for the first 6 months, if you didn't wear black pants and black shirt and black jacket, you were like out.
Okay.
And I asked the owners, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, our other two stores are in West LA and Santa Monica, and that's how they dress.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all coming down to support the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And they were all dressed up. And I go, well, what about flip-flops? Well, you can, but they'll know who you are.
Right.
But the West LA crowd dresses up like a bunch of New Yorkers.
Okay.
That's my recollection.
Yeah, it's the West LA crowd different from the Beach City crowd a little bit. Like from my perspective coming down, it was like I moved to the beach because I wanted to be near the beach. I didn't come here to get into Hollywood and LA, even mm-hmm. though I'm in a entertainment production kind of industry. However, I think the West Side is definitely more geared towards that. So you got more people that are a little more showtime, a little more industry, business, and sales too, and all the stuff that goes around, I think, the entertainment and the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. So I definitely see a lot more of that. And not that people down here can't dress up either. I just think people love the beach, and the beach lifestyle, caters to all types, from all realms of society. And everyone likes to be comfortable and have a good time, even if they can afford to dress up in a tux.
Yeah, well, I like to dress up. I mean, when I go just to HT or to Boozy's, right. I'm trying to dress in nicer clothes than I wear around the house.
Sure.
But I'm not, I'm too old to try and look stylish anyway. It doesn't, who am I kidding? It doesn't work. But I remember a guy used to harass me on Facebook, and he was not a supporter of mine as mayor.
Okay.
He didn't like the old mayor that always wore hats and suits in the Boozy's and HT. But I didn't wear suits a lot, but I always wore my hat.
Uh-huh.
And he thought that he liked the surfer guy better because he was more casual for Redondo Beach. But I'm going, I'm supposed to dress like a mayor when I go out. I'm not dressing in a suit and tie when I leave my house, but I've
guaranteed, you know, you show up in flip-flops everywhere and people are going to be like, yeah, you know.
That's right.
There's the mayor mailing it in on a Wednesday night. You should be wearing.
I always wear suit and tie at meetings.
Yeah.
But you can't please everybody.
No, you really can't. And, you know, every now and then you just, you kind of got to play the part. Sometimes you're just playing a casual person and you're not.
That's right.
You're just being yourself.
That's
why I liked,
Venice. Yeah. It's funny. We talked about that. If you wore clean clothes, you were really styling out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, but I was never into that. I mean, I can't juggle. I can't play music. I can't. So I was going to watch these people and, you know, just the fabulous freak show going on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's back in the days. Oh, my God. When they had the fabulous Freak Brothers.
The Freak Brothers, yeah.
And, which there's a bar in Ireland named after the Freak Brothers. And I remind me when we come back. I got two things I want to talk about. The Freak Brothers. We'll be back in a minute.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to HealthyLife.net. We've been chuckling off air.
Of course.
Since we got talking about Venice and it segued into the Freak Brothers.
Fabulous Freak Brothers.
And not many people remember that. Of course, you would.
Yeah.
And but you were probably about five when that came out.
Well, you know, it had a shelf life about time I got to my later high school, college years.
I got every one of the comics, and it was all about. And, you know, we're not angels, and I wasn't an angel then, but it was about drugs and things, mostly pot.
Pretty much every comic strip opened up with those guys going, we don't have any pot.
Yeah, with the pot's gone.
And that would be the premise of the comic strip.
And the cat would poop everywhere.
Yeah.
If you ever want to just have a chuckle and see what it was like back in the late 60s, early 70s, or all the 60s, go online and look for the Freak Brothers comics.
Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers.
Yeah, so Pam and I are in Galway, Ireland a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And our daughters, we can't find a place to eat. It's just crowded. And because it was a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
Anyway, stumbled into this place and it was packed. They found us a couple seats and it was half Italian, half whatever. It wasn't really outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking around going, something is weird.
You're right.
I'm not getting it. What's different about this pub? It's not really an Irish pub.
Uh-huh.
So I have to go to the restroom. I'm standing there and I'm looking about the cat in the Phineas cat or whatever. I'm going, oh my God, it's named after, it's the Phineas bar. It's named after the Freak Brothers. All the wallpaper. And they look up, there's Grateful Dead stuff around.
Yeah.
But all the wallpaper was Freak Brothers comics.
That is too funny.
And I'm sitting in Ireland going, I can't believe my wife and kids, we want to go. I said, I'm reading the walls.
Uh-huh.
And, I was there for an hour reading all the comics in the walls.
That is too funny.
And it was amazing. But go back, if you just Google this thing, it's the Freak Brothers comics.
Yeah.
And you'll see what my world was like and your world was like back in those days.
Yeah, the underground comics of the late 60s, early 70s. I think Robert Crumb was the artist who did a lot of underground comics. I think he may have been involved in the animated Nine Lives of Fritz the Cat. I mean, just a lot of underground comics that, you know, in the 60s, I mean, there was a lot of new animation and stuff. And this was part of that underground counterculture. And, of course, the music and all the other stuff sort of influenced it too.
That's so funny. The Freak Brothers in Ireland. Well, which we'll stay on the Venice Freak Brother kind of thing. I watched that 2-hour special the other day on 50 years of Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh, okay.
It's on HBO or whatever.
All right.
I DVR'd it. I didn't watch it all at one time, but wow.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, if you're, I'm 65 just about. That's my, it started when I was 10.
Yeah.
And Jan Wenner and the guy Cameron Crowe,
right,
who did the movie Almost Famous
and Singles, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, and he he got his start writing for a magazine in San Diego, and then he wrote for Rolling Stone. So it was really an autobiography on him.
Yes.
He never did come out and say which band it was, but it kind of made it sound like the band he was talking about was Deep Purple.
Okay.
Now, you know, just like the band in the movie, kind of marginally noisy, not that good, but it was Deep Purple.
Yeah.
And but I was watching that show. If you have a couple hours to kill and you're a baby boomer, you would love to. It's great. It's a history of our lives, of the music and the different times of from riots to Watergate, but all the music that went with it, and how this newspaper started as a bunch of head guys on typewriters, how it morphed into this billion-dollar enterprise.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to check that out, and that's it is a fascinating piece of history for where our generation is now, and that was the generation I grew up where that was forming my opinions. Rolling Stone magazine, FM radio, obviously there were people around who were already living those formed opinions that were influential, but that's when I would listen to the radio and they would sort of make you think a little bit different,
right.
And the articles in Rolling Stone are a little bit different than what Walter Cronkite was giving me. It was just giving me a different perspective and
a different view on the world. It wasn't necessarily right or wrong. It was just their twisted view kind of sometimes.
And I was always allowed to form my own opinion after hearing it. I might be, okay, they're maybe searching for something, or hey, maybe they're onto something here. So it all really rolled together, and Rolling Stone and some of those magazines were much more journalistically influential than just a pop music.
Yeah, that's what the premise of this special was, how it went from rating bands and following certain bands around the country to they had John Lennon on the cover and he was naked and Yoko Ono wasn't.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very popular with the people, but certain people. But it was, and how they morphed, and now it's big journalism.
As
big in-depth articles, which sometimes I don't even want to read. I still read the magazine.
Yeah.
But it went from a kind of underground newspaper where they wouldn't sell it to kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and because it was too provocative.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember having it on, seeing it at near the Hollywood Palladium at the Teenage Fair.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't sell it to us.
Wow.
Yeah, back at the Teenage Fair in Hollywood.
That risque.
It was, because they promoted certain things.
And, oh, yeah, definitely.
But they were... now it's funny. Now it's probably not as left wing as most other things you see on Facebook. Or
There's worse sites on Facebook now.
Yeah, you don't see them promoting. They're not out there promoting Democrats or anything like that. They're but they're reporting the news. I think it's a great magazine.
Yeah, and they it was I'll check that out. Definitely a great piece of history.
Yeah, it's really if you're into that kind of thing, it's really worth watching.
Oh yeah.
And the part about Cameron Crowe, how he's only like 14.
Yeah.
And he had to lie about
everything.
Lie
a little bit.
Yeah. But it's just like the movie.
Yeah.
So it was, but they interviewed all these very famous singers and authors, and they were all very highly, what I'm looking for? Help me out here. They were happy about, complimentary about Rolling Stone magazine.
Where, oh, yeah.
It wasn't a hit piece, but they were ruthlessly honest if you were if you stunk the place up.
Well, it was interesting because I think it was David Cassidy who just recently passed away. He was at the height of Keith Partridge, and he artistically at the time used a Rolling Stone article to say, hey, I'm not Keith Partridge, I'm David Cassidy, and this is what I'm into, and it's a little more what your readers would like. And looking back, that was almost like a kiss of death for him in a lot of ways by being so open and admitting to his lifestyle and stuff like that at the time, which is just like a normal musician rock star at the time. He was just such a squeaky clean guy that
he got hooked up. You got pigeonholed.
Yeah, and it just sort of had a weird effect where nowadays I think we'd look at that for like 5 minutes and move on to the next thing.
Exactly, and no one really cares anymore. But
back then, it kind of changed his life.
It's now just you got me in this reminiscing thing about Venice. It's just a trip. I used to go there. My cousin Bruce and I used to go there all the time, and even after I had moved to Redondo, we'd drive up there. He lived in Torrance, but that's before he moved to Texas.
Okay,
but we'd go up there all the time, and we were naughty.
Yeah,
but it was fun. It was really a great place. The only place close to it in the South Bay until about 15 years ago was Pier Avenue.
Right.
where they, as Paul Hennessy said, where the debris meets the sea.
Yeah.
When you can pull cars up there and things. But then, you know, of course, I'm too old for Pier Avenue now, and it's,
yeah.
And I'm happy they have it.
Uh-huh.
It's fine with me.
Yeah.
But I don't go there.
I'll be going to the Lighthouse in a couple of weeks. Friends band's playing. I'll be in and out.
Oh, really?
Right,
yeah.
Right to the Lighthouse, right back home.
Well, you know, Mr. Hennessy owns the Lighthouse, I got to give him kudos. He didn't change it.
No, it's a great place, and he's proving what a smart ownership and business
turn it,
that he is.
Yeah, he didn't want to turn into a pub.
Why change something that's working well?
It's a dump. What he has done, though, the restrooms are cleaner than it used to be.
Okay, that's a major kudos to him.
Yes.
Good job, Paul.
But, well, of course, I've been there in about a year.
Yeah.
A band that I know called the Bixby Dicks, they play. They're a garage band.
Uh-huh.
True garage band.
Uh-huh.
Truly bad. But they play there once in a while. They're a bunch of surfer guys and paddleboard guys. So, yeah, we started. We went from Redondo up to Venice, Santa Monica, back to Venice, and now we're working our way back.
Of course, we've got to talk about Feed the Kitty probably in
the next segment. We have to talk about Riviera Village. We're back to Redondo Beach, where we all want to be.
Yes.
Take a break.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
There's just no place like home, Redondo Beach. Well, thank you, Feed the Kitty, for that lead-in.
Oh, yeah.
So we started out here in Redondo, and I brought us up to Santa Monica. Then we got stalled in Venice for
Venice
a while.
Venice Beach, Muscle Beach.
Yeah, which is a cool place. And then we stalled, talked about Marina, came down to Hermosa. Now we're back to the village.
Yeah, back to Redondo's village.
Closer to our top secret location.
Yeah. Feed the Kitty will be there tomorrow at Boozy's?
Boozy's. And I think they start at 6.
Yeah, 6 o'clock, a little bit better for a school night kickoff time.
I'm going to let Mr. Hennessy know, keep bringing his name up, we're just friends, but we, as a team effort, the South Bay got Feed the Kitty back there to HT Grill, and they've been gone for, 3 years?
Yeah, quite a while.
And, of course, I think they gave him a recipe for disaster, starting him at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
That's the week before Christmas. Yeah. Actually, I think Hanukkah might have kicked off.
Yeah, Hanukkah kicked in.
So we didn't get Hanukkah celebrators.
But Ginsburg was there.
Okay.
And he lit the candle and he came over.
That's right, actually.
I go, why would you start him at 9 o'clock? This is not Pier Avenue.
Right.
Or it's not New York City or Ireland. So we get in there, and they're like 50 people there.
Yeah, it was a good
big
crowd.
Good crowd, but we had to work them, get the people to show up. But if he would have started at 7, we might have had dinner there.
Right.
And we've heard them at the Bottle Inn or Boozy's, where you still have a nice meal sitting 5 feet from them.
Yeah.
And you can talk and you can listen at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know why Hennessy's management was worried about them making too much noise, but if they could move the crowd up, the starting time, Paul, up to 7, it'd be way better.
Yeah, definitely hope they get that figured out next time.
Yeah, I sent out probably 100 texts.
Uh-huh.
Cut and paste and just sending out texts. And I probably got back the new excuse is it's a school night, even though they don't have kids.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought is, like, I didn't have kids. What are you talking about? Then after like 3 of them dawned on me, oh, it means they just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
But this is Pier Avenue for old people.
Uh-huh.
And starting time at 9 o'clock. So anyway, I think they somebody in the organization maybe wanted them to fail. But I think they did well. And so if you're listening and you know HT Grill management, call them and say get them to start at 7.
Well, I did my best to show up and participate on, you know, purchasing things that helped affect the bottom line.
Yes,
you know,
we all did.
So, you know, I thought it was a good time. Everyone was having a great time dancing.
Dancing.
A lot of photographs going around.
Yeah.
And, you know, just good times. And, you know, a couple people having dinner as well. The food looks great. Again, 9 o'clock's late for me to eat if I'm out seeing a band. I want to eat and then, you know, sort of go.
I'm not going to eat at 9 o'clock.
No, I'm going to eat a little earlier.
And, or usually if I eat, I'll just crash. But, you know, we go to the other places and have a little bite.
Yes.
And then we'll have a few glasses of wine or something.
Yeah.
When you show up at 8:30, me being the smart guy that I am now, daughter dropped us off and another friend took us home.
Yep.
No vehicle. And I started pounding some Irish coffees. That's a mistake. It's always a problem.
Well, that's the thing. It kind of, you know, you think it's going to keep you awake for the dancing, but then you get home and you're like, I'd really like to just be able to go to sleep right now.
I just like the taste.
Yeah, I do like it too.
And in fact, if they made decaf, I wouldn't care. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, but, that might be a better.
I'm just thinking, you know, we got to get the fans of Feed the Kitty to contact HT and ask them to move. They're playing there, I think, the 10th.
Okay.
The 13th is something I saw in Jack's Viper Room.
Oh, the 17th is 17th. Viper Room. It's a Wednesday night in Hollywood. Jack's birthday is the 18th, which at midnight, you know, will become the 18th. So, and I think they have Everett Coast, a band that they've had on their show, and a couple other.
And Jack's wife, Victoria.
Yeah, she's playing, and one other person opening. It's kind of a country rock
singer. I have
it
in my calendar.
Yeah.
I won't be there.
I'm going to really try to make that one.
I'll try. My wife won't go. Maybe we can go together.
Yeah.
Because what does an Uber cost to go to West Hollywood?
20 to 25.
Well, that's worth it.
It
okay,
is. It really is. It's 10 to park right behind the Viper. So that's,
I mean,
you were practically already.
I don't see Mrs. Asphill making the venture up there.
Yeah.
But I just, I'd like to go.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still have an outline of River Phoenix on the sidewalk?
I don't know.
I'm such a pig. But I would, just because I'd like to see them somewhere else.
Yeah.
I've seen them in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah.
So somewhere else.
Yeah. I did not get to see them last time they played the Viper Room. There was like,
it's too
so
late
much,
for me.
I had like three things going on that night and another friend in town, and it just didn't happen. But, you know, being Jack's birthday and, you know, a couple other bands that have been on their show want to come out and support that. And
Maybe I'll go up there with you.
The Viper Room, actually, that's the coolest place I've ever got to play with my band back
it
in
is,
2011 or 2010.
I've never been in the
11.
Building. How big is it?
You know, it's about the size of maybe the HT Grill's layout there without the tables. I mean, that room, that dining room, you know, with the bar maybe over on the wall, it only holds about a little less than 300 people. You know, they have tables on the outlay and then just a big floor. And, you know, the stage is kind of right up against the wall, which basically would be Sunset Boulevard. If you open up that door, where River opened up the door, that's where that's where that happened. But that's right up against Sunset there.
Yeah, I guess it'd be a bucket list to go, but that's a stretch for my old body. But I just don't see Pam making the trek.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'll talk to you about it. Get a party bus.
Get
a bunch of people to go.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. A couple other, Village fans might want to.
That's right.
Well, I mean, bottom line, everyone's going to want to go. Everyone's going to have a good time. And we all know the bottom line. No one should be driving while doing much partying. So someone's going to have to, you know, either pay for the Uber, the bus, drink soda
pop,
whatever.
Yeah, Uber doesn't sound too bad. But, you know, it's just too much of a struggle to be the designated driver.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got, you know, everybody else gets in your car all wasted and you're going to, I don't do
that. Yeah. Well, if you're going to do that, it's got to be a team effort. Like, okay, I'm doing it this week. Next week, you're doing it. You got a week, you're like a carpool. Mm-hmm. You know, technically, it kind of is a carpool.
And you can't even have one.
No.
No, it's just,
yeah.
You know, it's just bad. If something happens, you're still going to get it. You'll make the newspaper. Had been drinking.
Yeah, just not the way to do it. So, But between Uber and Lyft, you know, that's just a great thing. And it's fairly affordable. I mean, it's certainly more affordable than the repercussions of getting in trouble. But even just parking in the city is $10, $15. Like, I think it's close to that near
the
Viper.
You can find a parking spot.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
You know, so, just driving and going, okay, this is, because right there on the Viper, you got a weird, like, that's a weird corner. I mean, you got to make a sharp turn. It's downhill.
I know where it is because when I was young, we did a lot of Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, it's
in
like
those days,
San Vicente comes up at that peak, and it's like it's.
I was
it's
up
not
there
a, fun
a lot
place to drive.
When I was a teenager. My cousin Bruce again. We were up there a lot.
Yeah,
and it was amazing. It was funny. Someday I'll have to have a story about my cousin Bruce. Yeah, we used to go to San Francisco a lot.
Uh huh.
And His cousin on the other side lived right in the middle of Haight-Ashbury. We were 15 years younger than this guy. Boy, we learned a lot.
Yes, you
all
did.
Right, everybody, we'll take a break. Are we done or we're coming back to close up?
One more little one-minute wrap-up.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And this is the end. We're back to the Doors. The end.
Yeah, this is the end.
This is the end. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you about a travelogue of all of the South Bay,
Far
north of Santa Monica, and we live in a lovely part of the world, And if you do travel to Santa Monica, do it at 7 a.m.
Yes, on a Saturday, typically.
On a Saturday, if you get sick, go to St. John's Hospital. It's like going to the Four Seasons.
Uh-huh.
And if you get shot, go to County General, though. They know they can handle that better.
Yeah, they're all good with triage.
Anyway, we will not be here next week.
No, we won't be.
We'll
be back in 2018.
Yeah, taking a break. We'll talk to you next year live.
All right, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.